Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh yes, Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks, and your broadcast through Ever Beyond Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio. Good evening, Simon. Announcement time.
Hi, JP. And hello to the audience. So we're not on camera today.
We're not on video now.
No, never mind. The audio's not brilliant. Can you hear me okay, JP?
Yeah, you're coming through perfectly, so don't worry about me.
Okay, well, it's just you're breaking up a little bit. Okay, oh, that's fine. Well, that's great. Snow again. We had that heavy snow, and then on Friday it was really warm and the sun was shining, and I thought, that's great, we've got spring coming. Literally the next day, Saturday just gone, snow. Incredible. Just really weird. Okay, got quite a lot of stuff to get through today. So there's no order really, it's just the way it's going to come through. Those of you who've been looking at my website seen that I've been trying to find out about the Hadron Collider. I got some pretty useful information that something had happened, but it had only come through from one source, and I wasn't going to post anything. And then somebody said to me, have you seen this website? It seems to be sort of saying what you're saying or talking about. And I checked around, there were a couple of websites who were talking, they went into much more detail than I put up on my website, but they were saying there'd been some sort of heavy explosion at the collider. Now, I'd been told something had occurred, but I had no idea of what the magnitude of that was. And through some of the members of Connecting Consciousness, we were able to do quite a decent bit of research. Somebody even managed to go and visit the facility, who had some association with the place. Everybody came back with a blank. There was no information. All we know for certain is the device is not operating. It's shut down. And the label they put on it is winter shutdown, which on the face of it sounds very plausible. But we have to remember that a few years ago when Connecting Consciousness did the joint meditation, the CERN scientists were working 25th of December, 26th of December, 27th of December. So a winter shutdown is a little bit suspicious, but all I can conclude is that we have no further information and we just assume the Hadron Collider is still in an operating state. So that's just to bring people up, but I wanted to thank everybody for the research, looking at established news, the truth movement news, and for physically being able to get in and visit the site and speaking to scientists there. So thank you very much. Wonderful stuff. Okay, let's talk about the incident at Salisbury in the United Kingdom. We're calling it the incident. look, I don't know whether Russia was responsible for this attack on these two people. But what I do know is the absolute hypocrisy of the British government in the way that they are trying to make a huge political machine out of this incident. Let's not forget that the deep state in America murdered their own president, Kennedy, in 1963. That the deep state murdered loads and loads of people with the 9/11 towers. Let's not forget that all governments that have secret intelligence services murder people. The difference is that when anything occurs on British soil and it's an ally, they make it look like a suicide, so that the government doesn't have to go through any embarrassing rigmarole. So what annoyed me about the situation clearly was the fact that anyone would think that there's one particular country that does this and nobody else does it. Now, murder is no good, whether it's thousands and thousands of people or whether it's just one person. Murder's no good. But we should have a consistent approach. So it's no good, in my view, just saying, well, you're okay, so we'll let you get away with it and we'll call it a suicide, but you're not okay, so we're going to make a big deal about that. All right, I want to talk about the situation still banging on in North Korea. If you've been looking at my website over the last few months, you'll have seen that I predicted that Trump had given his military the okay to launch an attack. that Chinese troops had been placed on the border with the north of North Korea. And of course, all the media were looking at this and totally interpreting it incorrectly. And I also said that Trump had had a meeting, which he did before Christmas. He's got another meeting scheduled. And what it looks like now is a deal is about to be brokered that will bring unification to North Korea, which means that I guess the president of the North will probably be given, I don't know, a ceremonial role, a bit like in Britain. We have a mayor, you know, the mayor has office, but doesn't really do very much. They'd probably give him that. And if President Trump does what Jimmy Carter did with Israel, although that wasn't very long-lived, but nevertheless, if Trump sort of goes over and shakes the hand of both the United Nations and North Korea and South Korea, there is a real possibility that Trump will get some sort of national award or international award, and that would be quite interesting. So have a look at that. That's going to develop, and that's very interesting, because if there's reunification in Korea, it means that certain people are losing their grip on the control of the world. So that's great. I want to talk about Japan. Japanese Prime Minister is in some serious trouble. There was a sale of a steel to the US military, and this steel fractures. It's low grade. It was not military grade steel, and it fractures. If it's hit by a shell, it can actually splinter, and if it's in a vehicle, it becomes very brittle. So the American military are absolutely furious with Japan for supplying low-grade material, which means that the US is unlikely to support Japan in a coming political struggle. I would say that in the next 2 weeks, it's quite possible that the Japanese Prime Minister will be removed. And he's not a good guy, so don't mind him going at all. It's just his one ally in the US who could have helped him won't now. So that's one point. Those of you who are watching the situation around President Trump, it's very exciting. It always is with President Trump. His chief economic advisor, who was actually the ex-boss of Goldman Sachs, as you know, had left. He'd resigned. He resigned before he was pushed out. And he's been replaced by what I would call a guy who's America first. I wouldn't say he's a nationalist, but he's a very strong America first. And this is important, because now with the guy who's a good guy, actually, who's now advising Trump, it means there's more likely to be talk of a trade war than there has been. I think we'll see a deal between the US and Canada. I don't think the US will penalize Canada, but I think that Trump is going after Europe. That's what I think. I think that the European Union is a ivory tower. It's a new world order. It was a trick on all the peoples of Europe to bring them together, to give them one government and to manage them all centrally. And I know that President Trump does not like that idea. So I think we'll find, if not a trade war with Europe, a right up to the hilt, right up to the point, and suddenly there'll be some sort of deal. But I think Trump's pushing it because he really hasn't got much time for Europe. I don't think President Trump's got much time for any of the European countries at the moment. So that was important. The other thing is that what I can say about ex-President Obama is that somebody who President Obama had taken into his confidence regarding some of the under the table deals that were taking place when he was president, that person has decided to talk out. That could be very difficult for Obama. We know that certain peoples have disappeared when they've spoken out against ex-presidents, or maybe they've been in an aeroplane and the aeroplane's had an unfortunate accident. But as it stands at the moment, this person's quite well protected. So I think probably ex-President Obama's in a little bit of hot water. Wanted to quickly then move along to the National Security Agency in America. The NSA have what I would call almost superluminal computers that can transmit information within themselves near the speed of light. They're very good for seeing the future. And I've always said that the 6 months down the road, a human-built computer is pretty accurate. But when you go beyond that, the accuracy drops off hugely, and they become useless after about a year or so. But nevertheless, I've been told that the National Security Agency have made a prediction, quite interesting this, so it concerns Great Britain, that Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, is likely to become Prime Minister of Great Britain sometime within the next 2 years. I think that's really interesting, isn't it? That they, it's not just a gypsy staring into a crystal ball, it's a little bit more effective than that. But they think that that's most likely. I'm not saying it's 100%, but they're saying they feel that's most likely in the next 2 years. We're doing the European rounds now. Let's move to Italy. I never liked the Italian government that was there, and there's just been a new election, and it's been won by a mixture of anti-European parties and very nationalist parties. The result will be that once they get themselves together, it'll be a very anti-European government, and it's possible they may push for a referendum like Great Britain had. And if you look back at maybe 2 years ago, I was saying that I felt that Italy might well decide that it wanted a referendum to leave Europe. It's taken 2 years, but it looks like what I said is coming true now. So that will be very interesting to watch that. Let's move across to the neighbours in France. A man that I had no time for, the president called Macron, who was elected because I understand the people didn't like the look of Le Pen, who was self-confessed fascist. And so they went for Macron because he appeared to be the only decent candidate. Of course, his election was won by the established media. The established media absolutely threw themselves behind him. And it's becoming apparent why. Very, very heavily connected with the elite. And there is a movement now amongst some quite interesting individuals to try and get rid of him. So what we're seeing right across Europe, and we haven't done Germany yet, but we're seeing across Europe that the leaders who got shoehorned into power, as they've always done, are beginning now to look over their shoulders and wondering what went wrong. So that's quite interesting. Let's move on to Germany then. Anybody who came along to the conference I did either last year at High Elms, just north of London, or the year before that, and I don't really remember when it might have been, but I did a 15-minute presentation on Angela Merkel, and I showed pictures which were not photoshopped. They weren't doctored. They were pictures of Merkel giving a speech in one of her many election tours, and then I showed pictures of Adolf Hitler. What I was looking at wasn't her face, but I was looking at her body language. Now, it's really interesting that 2 years later, that famous Q, you don't know, there's a very interesting post coming out under the label of Q, is now talking about Angela Merkel being Hitler's child. Now, that's not the first time that's come out, but it's interesting that it's resurfaced. But I did actually bring this up 2 years ago, because I'd heard something, and if this actually adds to it, then I'm hoping that that truth might come out. So that's very interesting. Let's move across to Israel. Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, not a particularly friendly fellow, I think he's looking for a war with Iran. That's not new, but he's reinvigorating the option of a war. He wants a third world war. There's no doubt about that. That's not the first time. He tried it about 2-3 years ago, and his own chief of staff in the military refused to carry out his order. Benjamin Netanyahu ordered an attack against Iran by Israeli jet aircraft, and the head of all of the armed services just refused the order. He's at it again. He's in trouble. There are some very strong elements trying to remove him now. And I guess if you have a war, it sort of takes the spotlight off you. But, you know, we've got several leaders now throughout the place who are in real trouble and not where much to go. Going to move on now. Back to America. First of all, you may have caught that President Trump signed off a whole load of new documents at the beginning of this month. Now, one of them, particularly interesting because although courts martial, and martial law, is not new, there's been a change and Trump has, got his advisors to alter the way that it's run so that this time military tribunals can draw on civilian prosecutors and civilian experts. Now, why that's really important, and many people have missed this, is that if you are going to try a soldier for a crime, you do not need civilian experts because the military prosecutor argues with the military defense lawyer, and so they carry it out. But if you now want to recruit civilians, it must mean that you are going to indict civilians. Now, this is really important because if you're going to have a set series of trials and you're going to bring non-military people into a military tribunal, you're going to have civilians there because the military don't know how a civilian court works. It's a very interesting time on this. Anybody prosecuted before the 1st of January 2019, I'll say it again because it's really important, anybody prosecuted before the 1st of January 2019 will come under this statute, which tells us that 2018 is supposed to be the times when these court cases are going to take effect. And there's one interesting clause which says that I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but a temporary arrangement to govern the civil population through military law. I'm going to say that again. A temporary arrangement to govern the civil population through martial law. Now, had this come out under Clinton or Obama, I would be really, really worried because when we talk about martial law, we talk about the deep state trying to squash the citizens. But under this man, Trump, I'm actually quite laid back because I think this is about getting those people who have robbed the citizens of the world. And this is an interesting way to get them out of the legal system that they control and bring them into a courts martial, which they do not control. Remember that 85 to 90% of the military do not support the bad guys. And that's a very, very interesting arrangement. We need to keep an eye on that. Finally, I just want to make note that obviously I do feel sorry for the people who died when the bridge in Florida, I think it was near Miami, when that bridge collapsed and killed people. I'm sorry for a number of reasons, of course, but one of them is the bridge was put in, I think. I'm not in America, but from what I've been picked up, to help students, university students, not get knocked down crossing a busy road. I think somebody was knocked down, and so they put the bridge in. Why I'm bringing it to our topic tonight is that there was a crack found in the bridge, and there's some issue about that. And I just hope it's not going to be another story of capitalism, money craziness, you know, let's not worry about that. It's about making a profit. We'll stick this bridge up, you know, and I hope it's not that. I hope it's just one of those natural disasters. But I think it's very, very suspicious that there was a crack found in the bridge just a day or 2 days beforehand. So much of the United States infrastructure is collapsing, and that's one of the reasons that President Trump was elected, of course, because people are saying, why is the richest country on planet Earth got holes in the roads, bridges falling down, hospitals collapsing, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the reasons, of course, is that all the money's been going into black projects. Right, okay, thanks ever so much. That's quite a big update. We can go on with the questions now if you want.
So, from human and earthbound political news to galactic news, from A. Maxwell. Hi, Simon. I know you mentioned an electromagnetic wave and an energy coming from galactic center, which it seems some people have received. But are there any political galactic news or updates in terms of humanity? Anything new with the Mantids or the Galactic Federation?
okay, this wave is just hasn't really started. I put it between today, the 18th, and the 21st. The first wave will be a magnetic type wave. The second wave will be the much more uplifting wave. So some people are already feeling it because they're incredibly sensitive and they're feeling the edge of it. But my understanding is it's between now and maybe the 21st, something like that. So let's wait. Let's give it a few more days. Right, the political news. Remember that many of the groups that we talk about aren't aligned. They operate independently and, you know, it's a bit like a game of Monopoly. You make an ally with a friend because they've got, I don't know in America now, but British, of course, you've got Bond Street or Regent Street and you do a little deal there and then the next round comes around and you make a deal with someone who's got Pall Mall and so it goes on. There are lots of off-planet entities that just mix and match. There are other groups which are predominantly human who aren't in the game, but they are more committed emotionally and biologically, and I mean through the DNA connection. If you are human and you can see a human type creature on a planet struggling, you'd have to be very hard-hearted to turn away and not be involved. So those groups are being involved. I suppose I like everyone else. I'd love something to happen really overtly for the whole planet, all the population, not just to see it and forget about it, but to see it and believe it. I'd like every official news line, whether it be a newspaper or radio or a television, to come out and say, here's the truth. You know, we've been, they wouldn't say lying, would they? We've been keeping this from you for our reasons. I'd love that to come out. But just because we don't hear it every day doesn't mean big things aren't happening. If you cast your mind back 3-4 years ago, there was an incredible number of underground military facilities which were just taken out of operation. And the best we ever got about that was local residents hearing boom, 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 literally coming from underground as if people were dynamiting. So we had absolute evidence that stuff was going on from a 3D perspective. We were getting evidence from elsewhere. That was a key place because a lot of the control systems on Earth were being run underground. You know, in the 1950s when spy satellites started to become clever enough to take pictures, a lot of things literally moved underground. And so there were facilities there, particularly actually in Great Britain and in the United States, but not exclusively so, that were being used against humanity. There are still a number of bases where people and children are held, and that's obviously something that's got to be sorted. So in terms of politics, nothing's changed. Nobody's changed sides. Nobody's contrite, weeping in the corner. The people who are still hanging on, and those that are absolutely determined to shift them are still absolutely determined. I'm hoping that it won't be me that tells you. I hope one day that the system will not collapse. I don't want that, but the system will change so overtly that even the most unaware and deeply asleep human being on the planet would have to actually see it and believe it. There is a lot going on. And hopefully in the next few months, we'll get some more evidence of that. Thank you.
Excellent. So, next question is from Scintilla. Today, when I woke up, I saw what looked like a red dendrite that seemed to be hanging from the ceiling. I only saw it for a few seconds, and then it disappeared. I've seen the same thing before, but it was transparent, not red. Any ideas?
Oh. Right. If it was a bit like a stalactite that you get in caves, whether it was pointy like a needle or whether it was more round and amorphous, does she say that? Does she tell us?
No, it just says a dendrite, whatever dendrites look
dendrite.
Like.
Okay. All right. A bit hamstrung because it's quite important, the difference between the two. Right. All right. What we're looking at there is something that has a different method of communicating than most people understand. We're looking at it's organic, it's not AI. We're looking at an organic method of sampling information that has come through. It appears sometimes literally as a fluid. The best way to describe it would be if you have a cup of water or a glass of water and you drop some drops of ink, and then just second after they've hit the water, they plume out into the water. Well, that's the more rounded one. Now, if that's what the person's talking about, then that's my answer. If, on the other hand, it's more like an icicle that's pointed down, then that's more negative. It's more of a transmitter than a receiver. So I can't do any more than that without knowing whether it's a pointy one or a rounded one. All I can tell you is that's coming in from, if it's the pointy one, it's coming from the fourth dimension. If it's the rounded one, it can either be coming from the fourth, but I suspect it's higher dimension and it's being utilized or boosted from the fourth. So in layperson's terms, the pointed one is bad, the rounded one is good. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Nikolai, fifth dimension. Hello, Simon and JP. All of your assistance through providing in knowledge and insight is truly appreciated. Much love and health for you both. Here is my question. We know that the third and fourth dimensions are places for us to experience, learn, and overcome things like religion, bloodlines, etc. You had recently mentioned that those from Arcturus moved from the fifth to the sixth dimension. What are some of the issues we need to experience and learn from in the fifth dimension? Is there someone or another race of beings in the fifth dimension that we will join in our journey?
Well, thank you very much for the kind words that you've given both JP and myself. Every dimension that any living creature goes into gives him or her the opportunity to experience. I've often said, and I know some people get a bit confused by it, but I say that God, and I do believe in God, absolutely do I believe in God, but I don't believe in God, the God of the man in the pulpit with the Bible, and he thumps his hand on the table, and that's not my God. But what God does is provide each and every one of us a set series of activities, and that's all God's bothered about. What God doesn't want is us coming back to God and saying, you never gave me enough opportunities. So we're all given opportunities. Now, whether we learn from them, that's entirely up to us. So every dimension has opportunities, and those opportunities are different and change because the frequency in those dimensions is different. So the opportunities are there, but the way we would interpret them and the way they would present themselves to us is different. So in the third dimension, everything's very physical. Problems, let's call them that, problems come to us. They're very physical. They seem intractable. But as we move up the dimensions, those problems are not problems. They're opportunities. And that sounds like a corporate pep talk to the salesmen and women, but it isn't. I don't mean it that way. It's that in the third dimension, we are challenged, and the questioner is absolutely right, and the questioner has put down some of the control systems. But let's not just hook on that. We can be challenged because we walk past a person who we know to be genuine sitting on the street corner who needs some money, but we don't give them any because we just don't want to do it. Or we see someone who needs help and we don't give it. Well, that's also us being offered opportunities to see whether we're service to self or service to others. But your question was directly about higher dimensions. Well, the bottom of the fifth dimension is Andromeda. So I guess we're going to rub shoulders with people like Alex Collier. We're going to rub shoulders with the lower fifth. We won't just go into the fifth because it is a stratified band, just as the fourth dimension is stratified. You know, you've got your reptilians now in a depression. That's actually quite a good word for them. In a depression in the bottom of the fourth. And you've got people from Orion and Cyrus or Sirius, who are higher up in the fourth because they are human and they are not serviced to self in the same way that some of the reptilian groups are. So you have stratified groups. So the group that we will be potentially sharing future with would be Andromeda. But remember, we have to pass through the fourth first. For the last, since 2012, I've been one of those guys who've been saying that we do not need to stay in the fourth. It's a bit of a hard concept for some people to get their head around. They think, well, if you're in the third, you need to go to the fourth. And then from the fourth, when you've done your time, you go to the fifth. But remember what I and others have been saying, that the third dimension here on Earth is also fourth dimension. So we've done all that. So we just need to pass through the fourth and land on arrive in the early part of the fifth. At the moment, is taken by Andromeda. Now, whether the Andromedians would move up another notch to make space for us through natural evolution, I have no idea. But that is where we're going. You talked about the top end, Arcturus. Arcturus was in the top of the fifth and recently, in terms of human years, has moved into the sixth, bottom of the sixth. So maybe it has moved out of the fifth into the sixth to make space for us. So everyone will move up. So that means the jolly old Palladians will go from the middle of the fifth where they presently are to the top of the fifth. And Andromedians will move from the bottom of the fifth to the middle. And maybe the good old Earth humans and other associate creatures who have also decided they want to evolve will go into the bottom of the fifth. It's really exciting time. I can't wait. Can't come soon enough. Thank you for the question.
It's like Accrington Stanley coming to the top of the second division. So, just to go back a little bit to the old God Jesus thing, I was having this discussion earlier on, and Jesus, God, Satan, Anu, Enlil, Enki, how were they all related? I know, I keep asking this kind of question, because, there's still no real, nothing that people can, it's hard to get a handle on it. So are they the same, or are we talking about completely different hierarchies of things and people?
It's hard to get a handle on it because there's no one history book that succinctly explains it. There is no consensus. You cannot go to the public library and get a book on it. You have to go to different sorts of experts to get his or her opinion on it. In the history of this planet, certain individuals have wanted to take the label God because the people of the planet were at a very primitive stage. And rightly or wrongly, certain of these individuals thought that if they presented themselves as a god, then the natives would bow down to them and would do what they wanted, rather than say, listen, I want to share with you, or I want to have a joint government or anything like that. They wanted the quickest, easiest way to control the masses. And that was what they want. And that's what they went for. So all of the characters that you've just read out could and would have done in history been described as gods. Someone somewhere will have introduced them on a podium or a platform as your god. And that doesn't matter whether it was the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans, or whether it was the Zulus, or whether it was the Israelites, or the people of Babylon, Sumer, etc., etc. It doesn't matter. These individuals generally wanted to present themselves in a manner that gave them the quickest access to manipulating the human race. So much so that even quite strong religious people are, in their private moments, are prepared to say there appear to be two gods, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. The religious establishment refute that and say it's the same God. But if you read the two books, the Old Testament and the New Testament, one, the Old Testament was all brimstone and fire, I'm going to burn you, etc., etc., and the other one is all about forgiveness. So that shows me that books are manipulated. Histories are manipulated. Did Jesus exist? Absolutely he did, 100%. But the people who control the system wrote the history book. The Bible is a history book. It's a book designed not to empower those who read the book, but it is designed to enslave those who read the history book. Because it says, this is your God, this is who you give your authority to, and by the way, that little building or that big building round the corner, which we call a church or whatever you want to call it, that's where we are, and we represent your God. So you want to come along to us and we'll tell you what to do. And I've always, ever since I was about 7 years old, I could never understand when somebody had done something wrong, and who's to say what wrong is, but the system says you do something wrong. You have to go to a fellow man and ask that fellow man to forgive you in the name of God. Why is that chap got the right to speak for God? Because he went to a religious school and studied for a lengthy period of time. And then you begin to understand the system and the connection between the church and the governments. And you see in many, many places the church has a special standing with the government, and it's part of the control system. So all I can say basically is that they are separate entities. They are separate entities. Each one is separate, but each one has either intentionally or been manipulated after history to present themselves in such a way that they were to be worshipped. And what true living God ever wants its subjects to worship it? You know, that's the fundamental point. If you believe in humanity, why would you want something that you created, why would you want it to worship you? Your ego must be bigger than the Notre Dame Cathedral. Your fear of your people turning against you is based on what? Because if you're a benign and a good God, why would you be worried about them? You know, if you're looking after your people, they surely want to keep you. So it smacks of control. That's what it smacks of. So I've got no time for any of it. Thank you. It's a good question.
So, one moment. Women shaving their heads. This is a question from Healing Light and Love. Dear JP, happy birthday. Thank you for, and thank you.
Oh yes, it is your birthday today.
Yes, my solar return.
I'm not singing.
Please. Thank you for working your show on your special day. We are. We love you. Bless you. Thank you. Dear Simon, aside from the transhuman, transgender agendas, why are there so many women shaving their heads? Is this some kind of mind control? Almost all the Hollywood stars have gone bald at some point, and many ex-female military appear to keep their heads shaved. Thank you for all you do. Felicita.
Right. It's interesting because there are many police officers, female police officers in America and Britain who have long hair, and what they do is they tie it back into a ponytail. And I always thought, well, if you're fighting with a prisoner, aren't they going to try and pull your hair? So I can understand why people in the military or the police force, male or female, would have very short hair. I see the point of that. But in terms of shaving your head, it's more to do with images that we associate with a certain cult or a certain group. This is actually deeply connected with ancient Egypt. A number of Egyptian priests and quite high up people there shaved their heads, and it was what you did. It was what the priesthood did. And, you know, just think of Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley had a very strong connection with ancient Egypt. So there is a magical connection here, which runs through the fourth dimension, not exclusively so. And it made its way out into things like MK Ultra, particularly with Hollywood and pop groups and female stars, which were created. And it was a sign of a club, sign of the individual's status within that club, and a sign of their loyalty to that club. And so it is very much a mind control pattern. And if you go on YouTube and you see any of these young women, it is quite shocking, because if you get hold of pictures before, they may have had quite lovely long hair. Now, I'm not criticizing a style or a fashion. What I'm saying is I know for a fact that it is part of, or elements of, are used. It doesn't mean that everybody who shaves their head is mind controlled. Let me make it clear, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that within certain Egyptian cult elements that exist within the mind control lobby, that is an aspect used to denote the hierarchy or the position or the standing of that individual. And you know what they do on these music videos is they want to advertise their beliefs. So they'll have all the one eye open, one eye closed Illuminati symbols. They'll have, you know, triangles. They'll have all of the associated material that we expect now with satanic ritual, which is now put out and is part of the culture of young people. And that's deliberate. It's not just a director who's had a little bit of dabbling in black magic and then decides he will do this. These are directives. These are individuals who've reached high positions within the media industry who will continue to pump out what they're being told, and that's why they're in those jobs. So yes, somebody could shave their head for charity. You know, somebody could have chemotherapy for cancer, so their hair drops out. There are a whole host of reasons why somebody could do it. But if somebody's in the music industry earning huge top dollar, there must be a reason for that. So yes, it's a very good question, and you're right. Thank you.
This is from Moses, New York City. Lemuria, Atlantis and Giants. Simon, you mentioned on the February 4th show that the Earth was transformed, and I'm curious, I think he means terraform. And I'm curious to know if the ancient Lemurian or Atlantean race of giants played a significant role in terraforming planet Earth. And if so, what was the reason for that terraforming? And was there a genetic connection between these ancient giants and modern day humans?
Right. the giants came before the terraforming. But they were also present afterwards, but they were in a different form. Are they connected to humanity? Yes, they are. They had two arms, two legs, two eyes, and they did contain a genetic material which is connected to humanity. When we look at history today, we are bombarded with a set acceptable vision of the past, and it's neatly compartmentalized so that we can understand there was the ancient Egypt time, there's the ancient Greeks, there's the Romans, and so on. And then we have a period of time where there's nothing written down, and so history just ends because they can't teach it in university. That's what it's all about. If there's no writing, how can we teach it in university? So you'll find loads and loads of courses on university at ancient Egypt or Babylon or Sumeria because they had writing. But if you want to do something beyond that in the Stone Age, it's a heck of a hard job to find a university that is teaching that. So to go back in excess of 15,000 years is really hard. I mean, at the moment, the establishment are agreeing there are probably two cities on the world that are older than 10,000 years. Just two they've agreed to. And so if that's the level of of like drawing teeth that we are with the establishment, it's going to be impossible to get any information beyond that. So giants really did exist, and they had a right, although their rights were different, it is hard to try to describe this. When something is very different from though people in control, yet is still attached to it, they'll have rights but less rights. A bit like in England, if you had lots of money in a land, you didn't have to do any work. Whereas if you were poor and you didn't own any land, the only way you could survive was being connected to one of the great lords. So depending on how useful you were or how powerful you were, you had more or less rights. The giants that we're talking about were a group of people, I'm going to call them people, who you didn't want to antagonize, because they could cause a lot of problems for you, but they were also, they were seen as a separate entity. They were given a particular piece of ground or land, huge piece of land, which was theirs, but they weren't allowed to come into any of the built up areas. There were special trade missions. It was a very segregated relationship, but they were definitely humanoid in their form. They were benevolent, and that is why to this day, in many cultures that have not lost everything to the iPhone or to what have you, that still have some both oral tradition and written tradition, the term giants is not just something to scare people, kids with. It's actually rooted in history. And Norway is a really important source of information for trolls and giants. Even up to the 1930s, they were still writing and talking about such things. So they were real. They were upon the earth. I'd put them between anything between 35,000 years ago and 250,000 years ago. And that's the first wave. That's obviously when humanity was around. There is a crossover between Homo sapiens sapiens. This is about 250,000 to 300,000 years ago. And the giants, that is why in some people's memories, they have a concept of understanding what a giant is. But there was a group before that, before Homo sapiens sapiens were as we are today. So it's a really exciting topic, and we would really need to look in places like Turkey, what I call the Holy Land. That's a sort of area. But I think we can also look in places like the Ukraine and some other countries along there, and possibly South America as well. So thank you for the question.
Meanwhile, back in today, Agenda 21. Dear Simon and JP, best show on the air. Thank you for your great contributions. This is from Oliver. If all goes well this year for the White Hats, will Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, etc., come to a halt globally or in any areas? I thank you for your warning.
Oh, that's a really nice thing to say. I don't know if it's the best show on, but, you know, I'm very grateful that you listen. Agenda 21 is not finished. What basically happens is agenda 2030 or whatever it's called, sort of links to 21. So it's not that it's replacing it. It's basically trying to revamp it because they didn't really wipe out the human population. So they are just, scooting over the fact that they didn't get their own way and they've redone this. Yes, absolutely. I'm really expecting all of these completely disassociated, half-crazed people to give up wanting to kill us all off, and, you know, just to do whatever, you know, they need to do. They can only bring into effect what we, the people, give them the right to bring into effect. So if we, the people, abdicate our responsibility, then of course we let them do what they do. But if we challenge and we ask questions and we show we don't believe and we show that we don't not engage with the established media, and that we do believe in a different truth, then it cuts down their options. I had a guy come around from from the opinion poll, sort of wanting to ask questions about what did I vote and etc. And I did. I brought him in and had a half an hour chat with him, and I was happy to do his questions. And I thought what was really interesting was a big section on who do you trust for news. And, you know, there were all the usual enemies there. And anyway, he said, what sort of news do you like? And I said, well, actually, I don't really listen to the established news, but I do listen to Russia Today. And he said to me, oh, you're not the first person to tell me that. And I thought that was really interesting because these people have to be, you know, they can't lead you. But for him to make that comment means that he'd been into other houses and asked, what, you know, do you do? And they've all said, well, I want to listen to Russia Today. And the reason is that people are sick and tired of being lied to by their own media. Now, this is a sign, because he would have been asked to ask those questions, because they know the sale of traditional newspapers is dropping off the cliff. The number of people listening to mainstream news is only reducing slightly, but the number believing what they're being told has dropped significantly. That's the key. People will generally turn on and watch, in England, the BBC. In America, I don't know, what do you guys watch? Fox, CNN, whatever. But the number of people who then take it as truth is minuscule. And that's one of the most heartening signs that people are now discerning that they are being lied to. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was almost believed verbatim. And now, you know, some of these established people don't even come on a mainstream station and say what it is, because they won't. Here's one. Boris Johnson in Great Britain, a fool that he is, started talking about Russia's stockpiling nerve agents. Well, think about what happened with the war that we had, and we were told weapons of mass destruction, and then it was obviously proven there was no chemical weapons. It was a complete lie to start a war. So here we have another British politician in the Tory party now beginning to talk about Russia having stockpiled nerve agents. Is this the beginning of the British government now saying to its people, well, we're going to have a war because Russia's got these weapons of mass destruction? Don't these people ever learn? And that's my point. If these people don't learn, then they are literally walking off the edge of a cliff. Because people throughout the world generally aren't stupid. And they're waking up at a very fast rate. And the best thing that any politician can do is actually do what they're supposed to do, which is serve the people, not fill us full of lies and falsehoods and trickery. Just get on and do the job you're supposed to do. So I want the change, just like all the rest of us. It can't come soon enough. There are some big things happening. We would never have seen a man like President Trump elected, 5 years ago. President Kennedy was the right man in the right place, the wrong time. Because he was ahead of his time. The system wasn't going to let Kennedy there. The public weren't behind Kennedy enough. They sat in their armchairs and they said, oh, he's the president for the people. But what did they do? Nothing. But it's changed now. It's changed greatly. You couldn't do another 9/11. They'd have a real hard time if they assassinated Trump. There would be probably a mini civil war in the US. That's why, you know, it's something that they're really not too keen on. They've tried several times, but these are what I would call half-hearted attempts. You couldn't do another 9/11. I'm still hopeful for the future. I'm very positive. I know sometimes I talk about things that are a bit depressing and down, but that's the truth. I'm not going to hide the truth. But I always come back to the point that we have to go through this rough bit of road for the positive bit of road at the end of it. And, you know, I'm not like a newspaper that wants to sell its newspapers by telling you that the end of the world is nigh. We're all going to be wiped out. And I don't believe that. I certainly don't. You know, if I believe that, when Lord Ivars offered me that nuclear bunker was it 3 years ago now, 4 years ago? And I didn't want it. Very polite, thank you very much. But I'm not going to bring in, I'm not going to buy in to something by accepting something. I don't believe we're going to need to hide underground. I don't believe there'll be a third world war. I think that there's a wonderful chance for humanity. And, you know, we're going to take that. That's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, so from works of fiction to works of fiction. Why does every Illuminati family have a copy of The Lord of the Rings in their home? Is Sauron only one we know? Was Tolkien a white hat? Are the orcs speaking real star language from Orion in the movie? So, Tolkien heads.
Love it. Love it. Oh, I love it. That's a really good question. Thank you. It's a sensible question, but, you know, they've made it funny. So that's clever. Tolkien was a member of the elite. Absolutely, no question of it. Was he a white hat? I think he was. I think he was genuinely a decent guy who was so into academia that he didn't really have time for politics. And like many of these people, and H.G. Wells was another one, really didn't like the way that their lords and masters were leading the world into war after war after war. But, you know, they didn't do anything about it. They just made comments from the side. And what Tolkien was doing in showing The Lord of the Rings was war and factions of war and how people could be whipped up and how they would go into to one battle and they would be lied to and tricked. But what he introduced was magic, something that the 1930s and 40s wasn't really understood. Vast majority of people didn't have the internet, couldn't understand what all was going on. Why do bloodline families have Lord of the Rings? Because it's about rings. It's about the one ring, the ring of power, and all the subsidiary rings that come from it. It's about demons. These are the Nazgul. It's about those that come from the fourth dimension into this dimension, which is exactly what happens. It's about wizards, good and evil, and good fighting evil. Not every Illuminati family and person is evil. Let's get this absolutely clear. There are a large number of Illuminati families who have been blackmailed or tricked into a situation where they cannot escape without losing their life. And, you know, from my own family background, thinking about my blood mother, what would she do? Would she, you know, stick two fingers up and walk out? You know, she paid with her life. They murdered her. But she resigned, and anybody who watches Patrick McGoohan in Danger Man and The Prisoner knows that you cannot resign. So there are real penalties for people who leave an elite organization. So don't imagine that every individual person and every family is naturally evil if they're in the Illuminati. You know, many of us didn't ask for our bloodline. We were born into a body and we woke up and realized this is what I am. But, you know, consciously, I don't have any memory of that. Subconsciously is different. But anyway, consciously, we don't always have a memory of what we're doing and why we're here. So Lord of the Rings is about a ring that can summon evil, but can also banish evil. But it's about a ring that becomes so powerful. And let's just change the word ring to concept. It's become so powerful that it consumes every mortal who tries to control it. Even Gandalf says, I daren't even try and touch the ring because I would want to do good jobs with it, but I would be corrupted and turned into evil. If you think back to King Solomon, King Solomon only wore his ring for short periods of time when he wanted to enact the craft. He would not wear it 24/7. And in The Lord of the Rings that Tolkien wrote, this ring was only on your finger for very short periods. So that is why it's on every person's bookshelf in the Illuminati and not the Bible. You know, you won't find the Bible actually on show in the Illuminati family unless it's for research purposes. The Bible is not something that they're very keen on.
Two, so it's Sade, why can't we live together?
Ah, good.
to Connecting Consciousness. You got your tea, Simon?
I have.
And you got your list?
I have indeed. Well, the list has got me. Right. Are we ready?
Ready as ever.
All right. I want to make a special thanks to Bernard, Elaine, Kay, that's K-Y, Catherine, Edgar, Katrin, George, Sue, Michael, Ada, Raymond, Tina, Thomas, Joanne, Rhoda, Rini, Margaret, Pamela, Bjorn, Marvin, Offrey, Sheena, Jeff, Oliver, Sarah, Antonine, Cherilyn, Sheila, Vesna, Ross, Joyce, Lillian, Ildiko, Michael, Terry, Oliver, Jason, Tina, Stephanie, Bob, nearly finished, Theodore, Megan, Nathan, Imogen, Martin, Becky, and Patrika. So thank you ever so much for all your kind help and support and donations, particularly Margaret and Rini, who helped me out. My car needed a few bits and pieces doing to it. Very many thanks. Very grateful to you. Thank you. There we are.
Right. And I'm just scrolling through all the... I'm not joking. There's more than 300 happy birthday wishes on Facebook. And I'm not even down to the bottom of it. It's just incredible. So I'm officially overwhelmed. So meanwhile,
brilliant.
Moon Goddess from vibe@om.com. You mentioned, Simon, that Princess Diana was a real moon goddess. What makes a woman a real moon goddess? I have a dear friend with RH negative blood who has always called herself a moon goddess since we were little girls, but she truly does not know why. The title just came to her one day. But she is very special and obviously has gifts she cannot explain and a very good heart. Thank you very much for the show and all you do.
Thank you. I would say that all moon goddesses are good. There isn't just one on the planet. There are very many of them. They all have the divine feminine energy. We won't talk about Atlantis. We'll talk about moon goddesses. The problem has been that men wish to capture the divine feminine energy and utilize it within a black magic program, whether through ceremonies or something of that nature. And the divine feminine, just like the Catholic Church wanted all its priests to be men and didn't want the women involved, so within the black magic circle, they tried to maintain a male dominance, but they realized that they needed the feminine energy because the feminine is the other 50% of the energy that exists everywhere. But they wanted it in a way that they controlled it. So all they do is they sacrifice the moon goddesses. And in doing so, they either perform a deal with another entity. I will give you this female, I will have her murdered, and her death will be a sacrifice to you. Or, if it's not for another entity, then it's for the energy of themselves. So they would, you know, kill that individual, and at the moment of death, they would try to capture that energy. So they're all for bad purposes. Princess Diana... I was a moon goddess. We associate that with water. And I think David Icke was one of the first to explain in some detail what being a moon goddess actually meant. And you can't do much better than go back and have a look at his works on Princess Diana of Wales. The difficulty, I think, for humanity is to understand that these individuals are already identified before they're born. So Princess Diana was already identified to carry children and then be sacrificed. So she was already going to be, whether she liked it or not, managed by this secret organization. Moon goddesses are not to be confused with grandmothers or any of the females who take part in black magic satanic rituals. The moon goddess sits aside, doesn't partake of these ceremonies, only at certain times when the moon is in conjunction with something, or when that particular organization has aligned itself with a particular creational event, and the moon would play a part. So this individual, this moon goddess, would only be brought in as and when. But not all moon goddesses, only the moon goddesses that the elite organization have deemed to join into their cult. So you could have 50 moon goddesses and 49 of them don't really know who they are. What they know is they have this strong affinity for the moon and what it means, and some of the other peripheral material, but only one of them is actually aware that she is actually manipulated by a secret society. And that's what we have. One of the reasons that Princess Diana was so unhappy was that she woke up, if I can use that term, too late to what she'd married into. She was very young, and I've seen a lot of the photographs of the day of the wedding, and it's very interesting to look at Princess Diana's father. He's not very happy. Now, you'd think that if you were the father of a girl marrying the future King of England, you would be extremely proud and happy, from a 3D point of view, of course. But that's not what I saw in those pictures, and it would be interesting for a bit of research, not just him, but his wife as well, Diana's mother. They are several photographs where they're looking pretty miserable. And I think that that tells quite a heck of a story. So yes, all moon goddesses are good, but some get corrupted, just like anything else. It's a good question, thank you.
Now, I don't know if this is a real thing. From Viva. Dear Simon and JPs, thank you for all the love and care and wisdom you share. I mean, you make a great difference. There is a photo of Simon being knighted by the Queen going around the internet. And I was wondering if this is authentic, and if so, is there a story you might want to share?
Oh, bless you. If it was real, I would be Sir Simon. Because you see, when you go down on one knee and you're knighted, you become a sir. So if that was true, I would have the right to call myself Sir Simon. Okay. And that would be really nice. That would be fun, wouldn't it, from a 3D point of view. I wouldn't, if it was ever offered to me, I wouldn't have it. And remember, there's a precedent here, because my grandfather was offered to be knighted. They offered my grandfather to be knighted, and he refused for the same reasons I would refuse. So no, that actually has been going for about 4 or 5 years, that picture. I don't know who did it or why, but I remember being shown it and I roared with laughter, because it's anybody who listens to me on the radio show would know very well that I wouldn't be at all interested in something like that. If somebody said to me, I want to recognize you, I'd say, well, I tell you what, let's build a hospital, or let's build a healing center, or let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. That would be much more practical for the human race than, you know, giving me a medal. You know, you see these people coming out of Buckingham Palace and they've been given the OBE or the CBE, and they come out and they show their medal. I remember Jimmy Savile was given, I think, an OBE. So it just shows who the Queen gives OBEs to, doesn't it? And they hold their little medals up. And they're really proud of it. That's nonsense. Not to be confused with people who play in the Olympics, sportsmen and women, and they receive a medal. That's different. That's a competition. you know, that I can understand that. But, you know, because you got on a list, somebody likes you because your great-great-grandfather was this, that, and the other, or because you're a millionaire, and they want to keep you sweet, they'll give you an honours. It's all corrupt. No, it's not true. It's a great fun. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And from Daniela. According to some sources in the internet, spraying vinegar or cooking vinegar in a water cooker should help reduce chemtrails or chem clouds. Huh? What is your opinion, Ars? What else can we do to help clearing up the sky? The sky is a big problem, and, you know, it's something that is obviously, literally, out of the reach of humanity. How, what's the deal with chemtrails, and, you know, when are they going to stop?
I'm not sure I heard you properly. Something about an oven and vinegar.
Spraying vinegar or cooking vinegar in a water cooker, so I presume that's something that boils water that makes it cloudy, should help to reduce chemtrails or chem clouds. I have no idea what this is.
No, I don't know. You've thrown me. I don't know how long I've been doing this show, but that's thrown me. I know that you can clean a cooker with vinegar, but I've not heard about getting rid of chemtrails with vinegar. Anyway, right, move on from that. What I can say is there are some devices which you can go and do your research on the internet that do have a positive but a very localized effect. And these are usually using crystals and copper rods, which can be used, but you have to charge, you have to get a positive charge going. And that can have an effect, and a very localized effect. So, for instance, if we were going to have a connecting consciousness meeting and we noticed there was a lot of chemtrailing going on, there are certain things that are available just to buy you maybe half an hour of time. If you've got other issues, then you can use more non-physical methods. But at the moment, as you say, JP, quite rightly, this is up in the atmosphere and it's very difficult to get a hold of. And the only way this is going to end is when the purse strings that are released for this are just stopped. Now, that is happening. It's incredible that we went through a phase 3-4 years ago where every westernized place on the planet was being heavily chemtrailed. And then we went through a phase where some parts were getting nothing at all, and then down the road they were being hammered. What we're seeing now is a reduction overall. The amount of chemtrailing is reducing, but it is still heavy over certain areas. Areas that have big conurbations or areas of great spiritual revival or spiritual energies. Those are still being hit. But overall, there is a reduction. And one of the reasons for the reduction is the amount of money from the shadow government, black projects for that, is being reduced. Not because they're running out of money, but because we just call the white hats, but I don't want you to think of the white hats. I want you to think of the energy of the energy of those who are against it is so great now that the bad guys are saying we better curtail it a bit. We better reduce it. So we'll give a bit of ground here. We'll give a bit of ground there. And that's what I meant by the change is coming. I'd just like it to stop tomorrow. But it's more likely that it's going to be strangled in bits. And that's what we're seeing. So one of the last places to see the end of it will be California, I expect. Certain key locations that they'll try and keep on doing it. You're much better off protecting yourself from what's in the environment. Because even if you stopped all chemtrailing now, it's still there. It's been there for years. It's in your body. You're much better trying to cleanse the body and put up energy barriers towards it and do everything you can to make sure that your physical body resists whatever they're doing. Let others take the battle to actually stop that. What I'm saying to people is it's a battle that you can't fight in the sense that it's a physical thing out of your range, although there's nothing stopping group meditations. If you're having particularly being hammered in an area, that actually is, we know that would work. But it's much better that you spend your time protecting yourself, your family, your children, keeping yourself as healthy as you can. Because when chemtrails are affected, then these people become very angry and they tend to come after those. It is not the oil industry that is all powerful. It is the pharmaceutical industry. That is the number one money devil on this planet. That is why so many alternative medical practitioners have been found and the system has said they've suicided. Let's just be blunt about it. So many medical alternative professionals have been murdered because they are advocating a form of treatment that does not rely on drugs. So when we are putting ourselves above the parapet and we're going to make a change or an action that would have a huge effect, we better be sure that we are protected. And I don't want anybody doing anything that's going to draw an attention to themselves if they can't protect themselves properly. But certainly there are things that you can do. Just go and search online. You'll find a lot of devices out there. Thank you.
So, in addition to the question that I asked before, we were talking about earlier, this question is from Chris from Blackpool. Hi, Chris from Blackpool. Blackpool. I have heard that Enki was once a creator being for the light. In the story, Enki and his crew were told to stay out of a certain dangerous area in the galaxy by Source. Enki decided that he was too powerful and would be fine, so he entered the area. After entering, Enki and his crew went crazy. I think the words used were fractured personality. After this, Enki's twisted thoughts conjured up the Archons. Also, is Enlil the Yaldabaoth? Yaldabaoth, I never know how to pronounce that word, entity. Or are the so-called Anunnaki gods back to help humanity to clear their own karma, as some other people suggest? So, right. Enlil, Enki, Yaldabaoth, there we go, Archons.
Right. Okay, let's get this one straight. The Anunnaki are not back on the planet. They're already here. They've been here unbroken. Totally unbroken. They are here. They are the heads of large corporations. They're the heads of banks. They're the heads in certain religious organizations. They were the heads in the military, not anymore. They've moved out of that. They're the heads of political government. If you are the master of the human race, why would you go away? So they've been here ever since. Are they here to help us? No, they're not. But a number of them have made a decision to break with their past. And therefore, their decisions now are being more supportive and helpful to humanity. So there hasn't been a sea change. But what's happened is certain individual members of the Anunnaki are saying the Titanic is sinking. There doesn't look to be enough lifeboats for all of us. This human race down there have got a hammer and they're knocking holes in the Titanic. Maybe I better go and make friends with them so I don't go and sink with the Titanic. Now you'll find that those people are the ones with little or no blood on their hands. They're the ones that have been blackmailed or have done things that aren't despicable. Those that have done the most heinous crimes to humanity, they're the ones that are not changing sides. So let's get that very clear. Enlil and Enki were individuals in their own right. The story that you've got, I have a different version to that. It's not as grandiose as yours, I'm afraid, not half as interesting. But basically, if you take two brothers, and the brother that was born first, under patriarchal rules, should be the one that inherits everything. But what we tend to forget in the world that we live in is that in those days, what mattered was children born to a brother and a sister or a half-sister. Remember, that was the same rules that existed in Sumeria and Babylon and in ancient Egypt. So the pharaohs were generally the offspring of brother and sister or brother and half-sister. This was preserving the bloodline. So if you have a situation where the firstborn thinks that he is going to become master of all he surveys, but then the father produces another child, this time with a half-sister or a sister, in terms of the law of the culture, that child, although younger, is entitled to the number one position. So your first child is dispossessed. This can create a whole range of things. One of them is a mental schism. And so you can often see in a person the fact that they become megalomaniac or they become this, that, and the other. Now, the other brother, the one that suddenly found that he was in a position to rule, became hugely arrogant. And in his own way, he went through some form of mental explosion. And he became quite crazy. So the story I've got is that both brothers went through some form of mental transformation, was not because God, Source, said, you can't go here. Source, God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, you can't do this, you can't go that. God says, you go where you want, you experience where you want, but you might get your fingers burnt. So it was about two individuals who turned away from a particular path and became absolutely focused on the hatred for each other, vying for the favors and the accolades from their liege lord, their father, looking in a Machiavellian way to play the court, all of the hangers-on, all of the this, that, and the other, manipulating the equivalent of the civil service, equivalent of the military. And that became their focal point. So they both went through some form of mental disorder. And that is my understanding of the story. So I actually agree with you that there was, for both brothers, there was a mental issue that occurred, which created this, not an alternative character, but this megalomaniac, ego-driven, desire to control everything. And that's why the father said, well, you know, you can manage the earth. But you can manage, the other one can manage the space. In other words, dividing and ruling, putting the two brothers away. But when you have an earth, a planet, in space, where does the earth begin and end? And where does the space begin and end? And so both brothers were arguing over the jurisdiction of, you know, pushing their boundaries. So, for instance, the argument worked on spaceports, where you would land your spacecraft. So who do they belong to? Do they belong to the brother who was in charge of the terraforming of the Earth and the Earth? Or does that belong to the brother who was in charge of the secret space fleet? That's, by the way, is why the secret space fleet have this connection to one of the brothers. So that's my answer, that it wasn't God, that they fell out with God. What they fell out with was their own desire for survival. They became service to self at the expense of everything else. And that's what they were. Thank you.
Meanwhile, back in Europe and in Britain. Hello, Simon. This is from Jeremy Gex. Another Jeremy. Hello. You mentioned before that the top 10% of the elite wanted Brexit. Why do they want this, unlike the other 90%? What do you think will happen next? Many thanks for your information. I wish you much success.
Thank you. Right. I think it's probably, I said something along the lines of 10% within the top group. It's probably only about 1 or 2% of the total elite who wanted it. The vast majority of the elite followed Plan A. And Plan A was the one world order, the new world order, which was Europe. You know, the greatest experiment on humanity for goodness knows how long. And they were just following orders. But the top group actually wanted Britexit. The very top people that control our established media. And I've said it several times, and it's worth just me perhaps going over it again. During the run-up to the election, and there are times when I do watch established media because I need to know what lies they're telling. Every news evening, there were photographs or video of heaps of refugees walking from one place to another, one bombed city to the next. And this was on every time. And the object of this was to manipulate the British public into voting out of Europe, because they were saying these are all migrant workers who are just going to turn up on your doorstep and take your jobs. So this top group wanted Britain out of Europe. Why? Well, my answer is a bit surprising, really, because this top group realized that Europe was doomed. Economically, not culturally, but economically, Europe was finished. That's one of the reasons they put 1 million refugees into Germany, was to destroy Germany's cohesive family structure. And that's nothing to do with racism. It's to do with, if you take a group of people who have lived there for a very long time and have brothers and sisters and family, and you move 1 million people in who don't speak your language, look different, dress different, have a different culture, eat a different food, et cetera, you are going to cause a breakup. That's exactly what they intended to do with Germany. So these top people realized that as a political experiment, financially, Europe was finished. We're going to draw all the money out of the European banking system, so there's nothing left to rob. However, Great Britain is a very important country. It has the most important, outside of America, stock exchange. It has the Queen of England. It has some other very powerful symbology. So what they wanted was to extricate Britain while Europe went down the toilet. And that was why they wanted that. But they didn't want to tell everybody that, because that would send such a confusing signal that their own workforce in the Illuminati would all just revolt. So the vast majority of people were working to stay in the one world government, the European Union. But the top group realized that there was disaster around the corner. That's why they wanted Britain out. And they used the established media to manipulate. Now, I voted personally to leave Europe, not because I was manipulated by the BBC, but because I know that Europe is a one world government and I don't like one world governments. Now, what's the future? The future is that never mind whether the Labour Party win the next election or the Tories stay in power, Britain will leave Europe. It has to leave Europe simply because the British people had a referendum and they voted to leave. Now, if any politician dares to turn round to the British electorate and say, I don't like that, we're going to have another election, the British people would say, why should we ever vote for you again? Because you don't listen to us. So although 75% of every politician wants to stay in Europe, well, because there's plenty of money needed for them, that's why they want to stay in Europe, they know that they can't, because they can't, the game that they play, the great charade of the election, the great charade of democracy would be stripped bare and they'd be out of a job. So Britexit will go through, no question of it. Good question. Thank you.
Okay, now what is this? Destiny Calls. Masaru Emoto discovered water crystals responded to written and spoken words, music and thought. He showed that water has an intelligence and human consciousness has an effect on the molecular structure of water. As a significant percentage of the human body contains water, yes, and Earth is a water world, the prospect, yes, of healing ourselves and the Earth is very exciting indeed. Are you able to comment on this?
Yes, that's why I'm so against fracking. I don't care what anybody says. Fracking is not about finding alternative forms of energy. It's about trying to overprint the planet. You're absolutely right, 100%, that water isn't just water as we are taught it to swim in and to drink it. It is a container of information. And just as in our bodies we have veins and arteries that carry the blood around our body, so the earth has waterways, but I'm more interested in the waterways that run under the earth. For years, I can't say all of them, but many corporations have secretly been in a program to poison waterways, kill the fish and all the rest of it, but it wasn't that they were after. It's about trying to deflect information that is carried in the water by the planet. That's what fracking's about, as far as I'm concerned. You know, those of you who've researched it, that they want to actually use chemicals as part of the fracking process. I believe that is designed to poison the arterial waterways under the earth, to dilute or confuse the information that the earth is sending to itself from one part to the other. That's why I'm totally against fracking. It's a nightmare, and it's just a satanic control system, again designed to stop the earth developing. Remember, it's not just humans that are going to evolve here. It's our planet as well. So if you can stop the ascension of the planet, then you've got a pretty good chance of stopping the ascension of humanity. One is connected to the other. So that is what they're doing. So they're trying to poison the waterways. They're trying to spray in the air. They're doing everything they can to either stop or slow down the ascension process. And for those of us who listen to the radio show or take part in debates or try and make change, there is no part of us that can understand how anybody could be that mentally ill or devilishly crazy to want to do that sort of thing. Why in God's name would somebody, you know, why would you do that? And you got to be just so demonic. You've got to be so chewed up inside and so lacking any humanity, any compassion, that you would go on a program of destruction simply because you're that brainwashed. That is the people we're dealing with. That is a very small but significant portion of people who are that crazed, not crazy, crazed, and hell-bent on stopping humanity evolving. And perhaps one of the reasons is because they know their name is not on the list. You know, when Noah built his ark and all the animals came in two by two, and you know, or two giraffes and two lions, well, maybe some of these people would turn up and they'll look and say, you're not on the list. You can't come on. So maybe they say, well, okay, if there's no future for me, then I'm going to take you guys with me. And although that may sound a bit odd, that is often the case with some people, that if they feel that they can't ascend or they can't develop, then why should anyone else do it? And that's psychotic behavior. So I'm afraid that these are the people that the human race, over thousands of years, have inadvertently allowed to the very highest positions. We have let this happen. You know, they didn't necessarily have a revolution and put themselves in power. We, the people, have let that happen. Therefore, we, the people, have to take back our life. And that's what's happening, slowly but surely. And still too many people in too many countries who sit down and say, what can I do? I'm only one person. There's nothing I can do. I'm powerless. And that's the sort of talk that sickens me, because we are all very capable, and if we join together and work together, we can bring change. And you know, if there's nothing else that people take out of this 2-hour show, is that you can bring change. You have to believe in it, because these bad guys believe in what they can do, so why can't we good people believe in what we can do? Yeah, it's a really good question. It's a really hot topic. Thank you.
Okay, so from Noah to alcohol. Dear Simon and JP, thank you for your kind and very helpful work on our planet and the living beings living here. I have a question about alcohol. Is it natural? I can imagine there are differences between, say, mead and distillates, and I'm guessing that alcohol is marketed to dumb down the awakening population. Could you tell us more about the origins and functions of alcohol? Pagans used mead in their sacred ceremonies, and also alcohol cause a lot of emotional pain and trouble. Dumbed down people are easier to control. Thank you from Mama Bear.
Well, honey, of course, was used to make the drink, and it was very, very popular during the medieval times, and the monks used to do that. And that was from
I'm going to have some later.
Product. There you go.
I'm going to have some later with my chocolate birthday cake.
Ah, the chocolate's not so organic for you, is it?
Who cares? It's chocolate, Simon. It's chocolate.
No, I like chocolate too. So originally it started off as a food, as a supplement. And it started off as the drink of kings and princes, you know, the golden nectar. So that's not the problem. The problem was, and it's more to do with money, that it was a way of corporations making a huge amount of money. Alcohol was legalized and is a legalized form of taking you out of your senses. But unlike cannabis, which has a beneficial effect, alcohol was never banned or made illegal. And the reason is, of course, that if you have cannabis, it can cure you of many ills. It can give you heightened senses of the truth. So the system doesn't want you having that. But with the alcohol business, the amount of money spent by people is such a significant part now that it would seriously affect a nation's gross domestic product. You know, there are certain things that make money. Drugs from your doctor, oil to put in your motor car, gas to put in your car, and alcohol. Those are real key drivers for an economy. And I remember two British prime ministers ago, Tory prime minister, when he was fighting the election, he said, I'm going to bring in a law that puts up the price of alcohol, because he said, quite rightly, I've been to the police station and I've talked to police officers and they tell me that Friday and Saturday, they spend all their time locking people up in prison who've been drinking. Terrible, terrible. So it was one of his slogan pledges that he would raise up the cost of alcohol so that people couldn't afford it and therefore they wouldn't get drunk. What happened? You already guessed it. He won the election and somebody from the alcohol company came round to him and said, you can't be doing that. We make big profit. And he quietly ditched the whole project. So it's first and foremost about money. But secondly, you're right. During the days of ancient Rome, when the population became somewhat unmanageable, they would have a chariot race, or the gladiators would go out. You know, the old saying, give them bread and circuses, give them food and give them entertainment. Food and entertainment. Your entertainment is your television, and the wages you get paid for a job get you the food. So that's the point. The point is that alcohol takes you away from questioning and thinking and makes you live in a surreal world and everything's okay and you're not questioning. And you get into this routine, many people into the routine. They work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And they, so awful is their job that they go and they drink too much on the Friday or they go and do it on the Saturday. And the pattern they're in, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, go out to the pub or the club, or the bar on the Saturday. Then it's go and see a football match. Then it might be have my foreign holiday. And when you boil it down, these people are into this pattern of drinking, television, sports, holiday. Drinking, television, sports, holiday. no time to sit quietly by a wood or by a river, look in themselves and think, what is my life about? Am I fulfilling things? How can I make the world better? Alcohol is a prime designer to make somebody incredibly wealthy and to prevent the public from thinking. So you're actually right. Good question.
So now we've got that sorted. All right. Okay. Great Central Sun. That's quite a look. All right. Okay. One moment. Long question. Have a slurp of tea first. This is from Wheatgrass. Great Central Sun. The book Unveiled Mysteries states Dienka's devotion to his source was very great, for he consciously acknowledged the powers of the Great Central Sun. The Colbrin Bible says, I am the great luminary, the everlasting source of light sparks, which imprisoned in matter becomes the slumbering souls of men. Oh God, hang on. Iona's Wunderplanets on his death experience states, I seemed liquid now, I had become the sun. Are human beings actually suns in flesh body and part of the great central sun? Is the great central sun the sun for just the Milky Way or for all the galaxies in our universe? Or is it the sun for all of the universes? How is the great central sun related to the prime creator known as God? Thank you very much for everything you do. And I just, this is from Kathleen in Bismarck. I just want to say that the meditation I did was all about going from sun to sun to sun, from the sun in my heart to the sun in the sky to the central sun of Alcyone, etc. So what's your take on all of that, the great central sun?
Light. Our bodies are made of sound waves and light waves in terms of the energy. Modern archaeologists misunderstand a lot of the monuments they find on the earth. And when they think about a sun cult, they think about the sun, the star that we see as the sun. First of all, they don't understand or accept that every place has a binary star. There is another sun to go with our sun. And this was understood by any of the ancients who'd got that knowledge and done the journeying, the traveling to get to grips with this combination of two suns. But all the suns were seen as windows that could look in on the great central sun. Now, sometimes they got this a bit confused and they saw the sun as the god. They understood that as the god. But what particularly those in the South Americas understood was that the light was an aspect of the creational force, and that they saw, many of these people saw each sun as just a hole, shall we say, through which the central sun would come through. Remember that the energies of light waves that we see are not necessarily the energies of light waves that are altering us and changing us. So by building their pyramids to take them closer to the sun, they were making a cultural expression that they were not pagans worshipping a ball of light in the sky, as most archaeologists would want you to believe. But these guys actually were incredibly scientifically evolved, and to a greater extent than we are in many ways, more spiritually evolved, in the sense that they were saying, the closest thing I can get to the central sun is that sun that I see nearly every day. So if that is a portal, and I'm using the word loosely, if that is a portal between the central creational force, the central sun, then it's an offshoot. It's what I can see. Therefore, I'm going to give homage to it. Now, the problem again, here we go, is that those who became in charge said, I can use this as a method to enslave my people. So they would say, all right, get down on your knees, give homage to the sun god. And by the way, I've just had a little phone call with the sun god, and he's told me that I'm the son of the sun god, and therefore you now need to get on your knees to me. And then when he has any children, he passes that title on to them. And so those people are suddenly engulfed in a very, very clever deception from giving thanks and offerings to what they believe to be God. They suddenly find that they've allowed, that's the truth, they've allowed themselves to be ensnared by paying homage to somebody just like them, who, because he had strong men around him, or he had a lot of money from selling fish on the shore, was able to buy his way into a position. Now, that's thousands of years ago. Here we are, 2018, and nothing changes. Individuals use power to obtain climbing up the ladder, and still the majority of humans are allowing these people to force their, well, not fake images, because these images suit them very kindly. But it's a lesson to learn that often the highest ideals can be corrupted by people who wish to seek to manipulate the wider population. So I hope that answers something that you can go with. Thank you.
There we go. We got probably time for one more question. In December 27, a very strong message came to me. This is from Lisa. But I do not understand it. I hope you can help me with this. The message was that the power of a vampire reptilian family from Belgium, or out of Belgium, would come to an end. And then I saw a silver coin, this was also the message, with the new financial system or coin in the year 2019. What's your opinion about this?
Nearly every European nation has either an anarchy or an evil bloodline that can connect to some form of reptilian forebears. The dream you were seeing, I think, was related to cryptocurrencies. I believe that you had a bit of foresight there. You were given a clue that cryptocurrencies would probably break the bank of the traditional economic system. I didn't do it in my updates, but we could just touch on it now. Why not? The last at least three or four shows, I've been warning about Bitcoin. I've said, personally, I think cryptocurrencies are a good idea, but don't invest in Bitcoin. I've said that, and anybody wants to check back, you'll see that I've said that. And on Bitcoin, at its high point, I think was something around the $27,000 per coin. And I just checked 3 or 4 days ago and it was down to $8,000 per coin. That to me is a complete crash. I don't know what it's done in the last few days, but I knew that Bitcoin was going to be hit. And that's why I consistently said to people, don't invest in Bitcoin. But other cryptocurrencies are going to be okay for the future that I can see. And I, you know, that's a fact there. And what I think you're getting is the fact that the new currencies can be cleansed of the Babylonian money spell. And as one royal family collapses, it's not being replaced. So these bloodlines cannot necessarily regenerate. Or when they do, as in the British royal family, the children don't want to follow in the footsteps of the parents. You know, they are making a conscious choice to be separate. So I think what you've got there is a future of a Europe, or a country in your case, that was going to be broken out of slavery. And let's hope that comes true. Thank you.
And so we come to the very rapid... That whack by, that was really fast.
It was quick.
Must be something to do with the waves from the sun. I hope everybody has a meditate on the sun. It's a great thing. It's a really good thing. Sun inside your heart. Thank you very much, Simon. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
God bless.